So looking at Mark 1, 1-8, and I've given it the theme, they've got some headings, should come up on the screen. Mark 1, 1-8, the title, Getting Ready to Meet Jesus. Who in the whole world would you most like to meet? Perhaps some sports star, I guess, from what Dave was saying this morning, that would be fairly high up his list. Perhaps for others of us, it would be some singer or band member, or perhaps an actor or an actress, or those of us who are a bit older, maybe it's someone like the Queen. That's the sort of person we say, I'd really like to meet her. Now, just imagine that that is actually going to happen. You are going to meet your hero. What happens next? Say it's sort of penciled in for about a week's time. You're going to meet whoever it is, Bernard Langer or whoever. Dave will explain who he is for those who are a bit younger. Say you're going to meet next week. What happens next? Well, I'm pretty sure that for many of us, what would happen next is panic. What am I going to wear? I really must lose some weight if I'm going to meet. I must get my hair done. You see, the normal human reaction is, if I'm going to meet somebody really important, I've got to look my best. Now, Christianity is meeting someone really important. That's what it's all about. And Dave was showing us this morning that Christianity is all about Christ. Jesus Christ. And the big idea in Christianity is not rules that you must keep. It's not rituals that you must go through, like going to church and getting baptized and taking communion and so on. Christianity is about a person. It's about Jesus. And Jesus is not just anybody. Jesus really is the most important person ever. That's not an exaggeration. That is the simple truth. Because Jesus is God. Jesus is God himself. Forget about the greatest ever sportsman or sportswoman. Forget about the best ever singer or band. Forget about the most handsome actor or the most beautiful actress ever. Forget about the most incredible celebrity, say the Queen. Jesus is in a completely different class. Jesus is God himself. You see, right at this beginning, at the beginning of his biography about Jesus, which is really what the Gospels are, and this is Mark's one, Mark tells us that Jesus is God. Those first three verses again, the beginning of the Gospel of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. As it's written in Isaiah the prophet, "Behold, I send my messenger before you, your face, who will prepare your way. The voice of one crying in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord, make his path straight." Now, how does that tell us that Jesus is God? Well, Mark quotes from Isaiah, who was this prophet writing about 700 years earlier. And in the passage that Mark quotes from Isaiah, in that passage back in Isaiah, Isaiah is telling the people that God is going to come and meet them. And he's telling them that they need to be ready to meet God. Now, wow, that's pretty impressive. You know, imagine Isaiah standing up saying, God's going to come and visit you. You've got to get ready. Well, Isaiah, when? If I've got that something that important is happening, I'd like to stick the date in my diary so I know when I've got to get ready for. Well, Isaiah doesn't put a date on it. But he says, what I'll do instead is when he's about to come, I'll send a messenger ahead to announce that he's coming. Because, of course, this is way, way, way before the time of the internet, so there's no chance of using social media. He won't say, I'll start up a Facebook page, so you'll know. What they did in those days, if someone important was coming, you sent messengers ahead. And the messenger would probably have a trumpet, and he'd blow a trumpet, and he'd make an announcement, so-and-so's coming. And so that's what Isaiah said. And Mark opens his gospel, his biography of Jesus, by saying the messenger came. That messenger was a guy called John. We know him as John the Baptist. Verse 4, John appeared. baptizing in the wilderness, and so on. And the person that John was preparing the way for was, well, say, well, hang on, we know that already. He was preparing the way for God because Isaiah had told us that. But the person who actually came after John was, verse 9, in those days, Jesus came. So, Isaiah says, God's going to come, the messenger will announce he's coming, the messenger arrives, he says God's coming, and Jesus comes. And you put two and two together, and it's Mark saying, Jesus is God. So right at the beginning of his gospel, what you're going to be looking at in the coming week, Mark says Jesus is coming, Jesus who is God is coming, and you need to be ready to meet him. Because being ready to meet Jesus wasn't just for people who were there on earth 2,000 years ago. It's for us too, because Jesus is alive today, and Jesus is coming back one day. We need to be ready. So we need to be ready to meet Jesus. We need to be ready to meet God. We need to be ready to meet, unquestionably, the most important person who's ever been born on earth. I really will need some new clothes then if I'm going to have to meet Jesus. Even Mum and Dad couldn't object to me spending a bit on that. But hold on a minute. Is that how you get ready to meet God, to meet Jesus, by trying to look your best? Well, I've got three headings this evening, and the first one is this. It's what you're like on the inside that matters. It's what you're like on the inside that matters. There's a very famous verse in the Old Testament which says this. It should come up on the screen. It's from 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7, from the NIV. The Lord does not look at the things people look at. People look at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Now, that makes sense, doesn't it? Because say you are going to meet someone famous. Say you spend hours making sure that your appearance is just right. I don't know if there is anybody here. I'm not going to ask you to stick your hand up. I suspect there probably is somebody in the room who has actually met the Queen on some occasion. I know she's been to Newtown in the past. So I bet anybody who met her spent ages trying to look just right for that occasion. And the reason for that is because all that famous person, even if it's someone like the Queen, all they can see is your face and what you're wearing. They don't know what you're like on the inside. So you concentrate on your outward appearance. But God is different. God doesn't care what you look like. And for some of us, that's very good news. And he can see into our hearts. He knows what we're like on the inside. And that is where it gets awkward. Because that isn't a comforting thought. Because however stunning you may be on the outside, none of us look too good on the inside. This is Jesus speaking. There's some more verses from later on, actually, in Mark's Gospel. In Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, verses 20 to 23, he, Jesus, went on, what comes out of a person is what defiles them. For it is within, out of a person's heart, that evil thoughts come. Sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and defile a person. Wow, that's not too pleasant, is it? And you see, the point is, a new set of clothes can't cover that up. Can't cover up what's on the inside of me. Can cover it up for everyone around you, but it can't cover it up for God. A new hairstyle can't hide the filth inside my heart. So this week, for those of you on camp, it's about meeting Jesus, about being ready for that. But it's not just for the young people on the camp. It's what we all need. We all need to be ready to meet Jesus. Doesn't matter what you look like. It's about having a heart that is ready to meet Jesus. But how do you do that? You know, we all know a bit about trying to look smart for an important occasion. We've all got some sort of idea about that. But how can I get my heart ready for meeting God? How can I look good on the inside? Well, this is my second heading then. You need heart surgery. You need heart surgery. So So there you have John the Baptist sent to the people who lived when Jesus was on earth, when Jesus was about to come, and he was getting them, he was telling them how to be ready. What did he say? Well, if you look carefully through verses 4 to 8, we'll see that he talks about two ways that we need to be prepared to meet Jesus. Firstly, he tells us that your heart needs to be cleaned. Your heart needs to be cleaned. John has been given this job of preparing the way and going like the herald saying, Jesus is coming. What does he do? Verse 4, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. What does he do? He goes around baptizing people. What's all that about? Well, the people who get baptized are showing that they have repented, a baptism of repentance. What's that about? Well, we'll come back to that later in the last point. But what was this repenting shown by their baptism meant to achieve? Well, it says a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John was proclaiming, telling people that God is coming. That's who Jesus is. Jesus is coming. If you're going to be ready for God when he comes, if you're going to be ready for Jesus, you need to be forgiven. You need to be forgiven. Say you want to look smart. Say you're getting ready for that dream occasion when you're going to meet your hero. You spruce yourself up. You put your best clothes on. You set out to meet them. You've got to walk there. But as you go on your way to wherever it is you're meeting them, on the journey you trip up. And you fall down and you've got mud all over your knees. And a bit further on, well, maybe it'll dry off, maybe it won't look too bad. A bit further on, you're walking along the pavement, there's a huge puddle there, a car drives past. And you're actually drenched from head to foot and with these muddy marks all over you. And then to cap it all, a bit further on, a bird flies over and, what was that I felt on my shoulder? Oh no, that bird poo on my shoulder. Your clothes are filthy. They need cleaning. Now what the mud on your knees, what the spottles all over your clothes, what the bird poo on your shoulder does for your clothes, sin does to your heart. You lose your temper with somebody and a flood of foul words comes out. That's like a muddy mark on your heart. When no one is looking, you take something that isn't yours. That's like splashing muddy water all over your insides. You smile nicely at someone, but in your heart you're really despising them. That's another filthy stain on your heart. Just as clothes need washing when you get dirty, so our hearts need to be cleansed, cleaned when we sin. So what washing is to your clothes, forgiveness is to your heart. Our sins are the wrong things that we do and say and think. They're also the good things that we should do that we don't do. And our sins stain our hearts. Our sins leave dirty marks on our hearts. They need forgiveness. So if God is going to look at you with his x-ray eyes, as it were, where he can see into your heart, and if he's going to be pleased with what he sees, then you need forgiveness. Now, how can that be done? Well, John the Baptist came to tell the people that it can be done, and we'll look at that in a minute. But just for the moment, we need to know the first thing that's got to happen to me if I'm going to be ready to meet Jesus is I need to be cleaned, I need to be forgiven. But then the second thing that needs to happen if I'm going to be ready for meeting Jesus is your heart needs to be changed. Your heart needs to be changed. You know, think of your clothes. Think of, you know, these horrendous stuff's happened. You've got time, fortunately. You nip back home. You've got a mega fast cycle on the washing machine. You shove everything in. You have a quick bath as well. You go out again. You're spotless again. Hang on, but what's to stop the same thing happening again? What's to stop you getting filthy another time? Or think of your heart. you've been forgiven, and we'll see how. Praise God. But the next second, I've just been forgiven and some terrible thought crosses my mind. Or you lose your temper again. And out comes another torrent of abuse. You see, we don't only need to be forgiven, we need to be changed on the inside so that we want to do what is right, and with God's help, we're able to do what is right. Now, if you read through the Old Testament, you start at Genesis and you read through, you'll find a lot of it's about the people of Israel, about the Jewish people. And as you read their story, this is all the stuff before Jesus came, you'll find that time and time again, God rescues the people of Israel. You know, they get in a real mess. They disobey God. They need forgiveness. God forgives them. He rescues them. The greatest example was when they're slaves in Egypt, and God forgave them and rescued them and brought them into the promised land. But no sooner are they there than they start disobeying God again. They do all sorts of awful things. And the message becomes clearer and clearer as you go through the Old Testament. People don't just need to be forgiven and rescued, they need to be changed. And so as you read through the Old Testament, you start to find these little verses which talk about a promise that God's making, that one day he would come by his Holy Spirit and change his people on the inside. Probably the most famous of all those promises is one given through the prophet Ezekiel about 600 years before Jesus was on earth. And this is what it says, there you are, from Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 and 27. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I'll remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh, and I'll put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. If we're going to be changed on the inside, so that we actually want to obey God and able to live in a way that pleases him, then God must do it. He must come and live in us by his Holy Spirit. And John says, back in Mark 1, that it's Jesus who's actually going to send God's Holy Spirit to live in us. Verses 7 and 8, after me comes he who is mightier than I, the strap of whose sandals I'm not worthy to stoop down and tie. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. You know, I've done something with water, which just is like a picture of the washing you need. He'll really do it through his Holy Spirit. So we've seen that if we're going to be ready to meet Jesus, it's what we're like on the inside that matters. We've seen that if we're going to be okay on the inside, we need to have heart surgery, we need to be cleaned, and we need to be changed. How does it happen? How does it happen? Well, thirdly and finally, stop fighting against God. Stop fighting against God. Those on the camp are going to be looking at this in more detail over the next 5 days, but the rest of us won't get a chance to hear what Dave's saying and what they're doing in their Bible studies. So I'm going to briefly explain it for the benefit of everybody else, and for you guys, this is like a trailer. All right, you know when you go on the internet, there's some film coming out, you go and look at the trailer where you see the best bits usually of the film, and you think, wow, this is wonderful, and then you go and discover it's not quite so good. This is the trailer, all right, what's coming in the rest of the week. And I just want to use one verse from the book of Acts that Linda read earlier, and where Peter's speaking on the day of Pentecost. And it's the point at which the people say, what must we do? They've just discovered that they're sinners, that they crucified the Messiah, who they've been waiting for, but God has raised him from the dead. And they say, what must we do? And Peter replies, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. I chose that verse because it explains things well, but it also uses a lot of the words that John uses back in Mark 1. It talks about repenting, about being baptized. It talks about forgiveness. It talks about receiving the gift of the Holy Spirit. So Peter tells them that if this is going to happen, if they're going to be ready, if they're going to be forgiven and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, they need to repent and to be baptized. What's all that about? Well, repentance first. You know, we already thought about how there's something wrong with us in our hearts. You know, one of the most distressing things about being human is the horrible stuff that comes out of our hearts. You know, we say and do things that shock ourselves, let alone everybody else. And the Bible tells us that those wrong things are the symptoms of a terrible disease. You know, just like when you go to the doctors and you think, I've just got, you know, a cough, and he tells you, well, actually, there's something terrible going on inside. And the underlying disease that produces all that, you know, those foul words, those evil thoughts, and that, those doing those things we shouldn't do, is rebelling against God. It's fighting against God. It's as though we're saying to God, and this is the key, God, I don't want you telling me what to do. I want to be in charge of my own life. I'll do what I want, thank you. Except we don't usually say thank you, because we're not that polite. That's what sin is. It's saying to God, get lost. Saying to God, I want to be in charge here. Repentance is giving up that rebellious attitude against God. Stopping fighting God and instead saying to God, actually, God, you're in charge in my life from now on. With your help, I'll do what you want me to do. I'll do what you tell me to do. So repentance is changing from me in charge to God in charge. What's baptism about? Be baptized. Why did both John and Peter tell people to be baptized? Well, notice that John calls it a baptism of repentance. And Peter says, repent and be baptized. So the first thing to note is that baptism is linked to repentance. So repentance is something that happens in your heart, isn't it? Being baptized is God's way that he says, look, this is the way I want you to outwardly say, I've repented. It's the outward way you say, God's now in charge here. And notice also that John talked about proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And Peter speaks of repenting and being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. So being baptized is also the outward way of showing, I've heard God's promise that there's forgiveness for those who repent, and I believe it. I'm trusting in Jesus. I'm trusting in his death on the cross that Dave spoke about this morning. I'm relying on that for my forgiveness. I believe God's promise. So again, when you get baptized, you're saying, I believe that God has forgiven me because I've trusted in Jesus. So what's baptism about? Baptism is to show that you've repented and you're trusting in Jesus for forgiveness. And both John and Peter promise that those who repent and believe will not only be forgiven, but will also receive the gift of the Holy Spirit to change their hearts. You don't become perfect overnight. Some of us have been Christians here for many years. We're still far from perfect. But the Holy Spirit will give you the power to change more and more so that you increasingly obey God. I'm going to close now. Let's just try and put these pieces together to sum up. We've seen that Christianity is all about Jesus. Dave was telling us that this morning from the Bible. We've learned that it's all about, it's all about getting ready to meet Jesus. But the thing we've learned really when we reflect on what we've heard tonight is that Jesus has to get us ready to meet him. Say, Jesus, I want to be ready to meet you. Jesus, I need your help to get me ready. Jesus came to die so that you can be forgiven. And it's he who will send his Holy Spirit into your life to change you. So to receive that forgiveness, to receive that gift of the Holy Spirit, you have to stop rebelling. You have to say, Jesus, I want you to be king. I want God to be in charge of my life. And you have to start believing. Stop rebelling, start believing. That's trusting in Jesus for forgiveness. And show that you've done that by being baptized. Let's pray.